This is Olivia Buckley of Cherry Brook invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Craig Eagle. Today's highlights include Queen, Hoobastank and the Choir Boys. And in between that, at some point, we will be testing our fruit bazooka, finding out who's got the worst job in Australia. Axl Rose is going to bite me on the leg. It's all coming up on Get This. That's you too, Mysterious Ways, here at Get This. Good morning, everybody. It's Triple M. It's myself, Tony Martin. It's Richard Marslin pushing the button.
Top of the morning to you, Tony.
Told us last week he writes for Rove. Mm-hmm. Then I hear from Maddie in production, acts in Rove. What were you doing this week? Who were you playing?
Oh, no, I appeared in a desk piece. I was just in a photo for a fake...
A photo?
A fake warning label. I had to listen to some relationship chat.
But is it a Wiz Wally-style deal? You're somewhere lurking on Rove every week?
I do like to do that occasionally.
What's been your favourite character?
There was one where I had my back to the camera and I was one of those guys who was... It was basically a parody of Channel 9 News Low Budget because of all the job cuts.
Yes.
And I was the one... replacing the image up on the wall. It was a drawn image rather than a computerised one. Difficult to explain.
No, I can see you playing Delivery Man 2 in no time. But let's bring in our co-host. A round of fake applause for Craig Eagle. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, Tony. Thanks for having me in. Hello, Richard.
How you doing?
Now, look, we're going to get straight to the ugliness, and without getting too bitter about it, what the hell happened with that show of yours, Eagle and Evans, that was on the ABC?
Well, it's nice that you referred to the program as Eagle and Evans as opposed to the much maligned or... ill-fated,
hey,
Eagle and Evans?
My programs are ill-fated. Hands off that label.
Sorry.
Here's what I remember. I remember it sort of being advertised and then sort of coming on, like, way after it was advertised.
Yeah.
And then being on for a couple of weeks and then being off again and then coming on about a year later. Is that kind of what happened?
Well, it was a masterstroke of genius from the ABC to pretty much try and sneak up on viewers with the program.
Just keep them guessing.
Yeah, keep them guessing.
A moving target.
Don't make it too obvious.
Right.
We don't want them to know what's on. Let's just try and hide it and, launch it during the Olympics when obviously no one cares about the Olympics.
Someone told me it was playing on planes before it actually was on air.
Yeah.
Then the DVD came out, like, after only one episode had actually been screened.
Yeah. A masterstroke of marketing there on the ABC department.
Here's what a lot of people tell me about that show. They say, oh, the pilot, because you and Dalen Evans, who was Evans, did your own pilot. You did the brilliant thing of, raising your own money, doing your own pilot.
That's right. We got sick of sending scripts to people who would say, we don't understand it. Stop doing that.
The typing. Have you thought of maybe typing them?
No. We just scribble on pizza boxes like everyone does.
And so, so you did the pilot, but then, as I understand it, the ABC had some ideas of their own. Is that right?
They did. We pretty much wanted to do a straight duo sketch show.
Yeah.
And they thought, no. Why don't you make it far too complex for people to understand?
This is what always happens. You get people who are sort of in charge, but they're very insecure about their own role.
That's right.
They feel they have to contribute.
That's right.
So I remember when that show came out, there was Sandra Levy, one of the many idiots who's now no longer at the ABC.
Oh, you mean lovely Sandra?
Oh, hopeless. Mm. She was the woman who thought Big Sky was a good idea, who thought Fireflies was a good idea, but Kath and Kim will never work.
Had to be sued to actually
make it.
Yeah.
But she was quoted in all the papers as saying, well, what we've done is we've taken Eagle and Evans, and they just wanted to do a sketch show, and we've pushed them up to the next level.
Mm.
It's not a skit show. It's not a sitcom. It's a skitcom. And you're going, no. Where does the idea come that we've mastered sketch comedy?
Yeah.
That we need to go to the next level? There's just so many brilliant sketch comedy shows that the whole concept needs improving.
My concern was when the phrase symbiotic was mentioned when we're trying to make a comedy series. Symbiotic and comedy, they don't go together that well.
But it was one of those, because this is always happening. You always hear, I remember a bloke took over the comedy department at the ABC a few years ago, and he's got, oh, I've got a great idea. We're going to do the seven deadly sins, and we'll get Leno and Woodley to do one of the deadly sins.
And
we'll get
that.
Glenn Robinson. Yes. You're going, no, put your idea away. Just ask Leno and Woodley what they want to do.
Yeah, it would make more sense.
Go and do some typing.
Yes.
But anyway, that show did go to air in some form, and I was a big fan of a lot of it. I love the idea of mini squash. Two blokes trying to play squash in a corridor.
Yeah, and that was just a freakish bit of luck that we happened to find a squash centre that had movable walls. I went, hang on, roll camera on that bad boy.
Okay,
get some gold out of that.
So, Craig, you've had an ugly experience in the television business. I'm assuming this is why you run a pub.
Correct. Yeah, as most of us do.
Isn't good running a pub? Mick Mull always told me he's always wanted to run his own pub.
Oh, it's great fun. Yeah. It's a hoot running a pub. Just getting people drunk. You know, it's like having a party at your house.
Every day.
They give you money.
Fantastic.
And pay your bills.
Well, it's a wonderful pub, the one that you run, but I noticed there's a cat running around everywhere.
We have a pub cat.
Yeah.
Called Puss. Drinks Jamesons.
Really?
And, he's off his guts most of the time.
Don't let him drive.
No.
And do you, as you run the pub, do you have to have these controversial AWAs? Do you have to strike up workplace agreements with your staff?
No, it's pretty much, you know, get behind the bar. We don't bother with anything legal like that. There's no formal certificates required. Just get behind the pub and, you know, pour beers.
Because there was a big protest in Melbourne. You said, well, there was protests all around the country, obviously, and against the IR legislation. But have a listen to Brian Boyd, the Trades Hall Secretary in Melbourne.
Don Howard is just as welcome in Melbourne today as a yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue.
It's getting worked up. So I think that anything on today's show can be described as...
a yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue.
The funny thing is that that's his normal speaking voice.
What about the
Give
kids?
Me a cup of tea, will you, love? I need a cup of tea. And I have two sugars and...
a yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue.
What about those kids with their fruit bazooka? Did you see that on the news?
I want to make one now.
Kids invented, they got a 2 metre section of, you know, PVC piping. And I don't know what sort of technology they bunged in there, but they were able, let's have a listen to the trajectory and range and capabilities of this weapon.
They fired oranges and potatoes up to 90 metres.
Wow.
And they were firing them at fruit bats in a public reserve.
Wow. I want to know how often Mal Walden uses that phrase. They fired oranges and potatoes at 90 metres.
Well, of course, the concept of doing that would be as welcome as what, Mr. Marsland?
A yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue!
A cup of tea, love!
But they had a couple of things about that story. First, I love it when you see moody young schoolboys who've been forced to wear a suit coming out of court and they've already untucked the shirt and sort of shuffling along so they look a bit cool, like maybe I'll look like the Strokes. And then the other thing is the excuse. You know, what exactly was the reason for building a fruit bazooka? Of course, the answer is, sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun.
A combination of two beautiful words.
A fruit bazooka. Just saying it is enjoyable. But listen to this.
The students say they're only testing out a physics theory.
Of course.
See, anything could be a physics theory.
It's a learning experience.
I have to ingest this huge amount of marijuana because I'm testing a physics theory. Remember that one, kids.
I only wanted to check what the safe levels of pseudoephedrine are.
Oh, pseudoephedrine, that's as welcome as...
a yellow-bellied black snake at a barbecue!
Let's get this program underway.
Where's my teeth?
That's Pete Murray and his opportunity here to get this on Triple M, where our co-host is comedian Craig Eagle. Craig, have you got kids?
I do. Two.
Is that a nightmare?
Can be. Can be at times. You learn. You learn many things. You learn about how much they do and don't respect you at times.
Right, how old are we talking?
4 and 2.
Oh, gee, what must that be like? Have they got their own mobile phones yet?
No, but
that must be coming.
They've asked. My son, Charlie, my 4-year-old, will be listening now. Just want to send a quick cheerio. Charlie, put that down, leave your brother alone. I had a wonderful moment a couple of weeks ago doing a bit of a handyman around the house. I like to think of myself as a handyman.
Yes.
I'm crap, but like most blokes, I thought, well, no, I'll get out and do a bit of stuff.
Have a go.
And the front gate needed a bit of fixing. Took the boy down to the large hardware store that he adores.
Right.
Rows and rows of man things. Yes. And came home, was fixing the gate, and it was cold, cold, wintry day. Mm. Cold and icy, and I'm wearing leather gloves, and had to actually bang a nail into the metal fencing, like, support of the gate.
Right, you couldn't get someone else in to do that?
No, okay. That's what I'm there for.
Okay.
And a bit of a mishap, and I hit my thumb with the hammer so hard, I couldn't actually think of a swear word to suit. Nothing came to mind, just this weird noise of... And my son said to me, should I go and get Mum? And I said, no, I'm fine. He said, no, to finish the gate. straight back down to earth. Thank you, son.
It's great when your own kids take the piss out of you.
Yeah.
That must be a moment.
Yeah, I blame his mother.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have... I'm just speaking of pain, would it have been as bad as being bitten on the leg by Axl Rose?
See what... I think not.
We were playing footage. We had some footage of Axl about a week ago in South America doing a concert where singing was clearly just beyond him.
Mm.
So he did that thing of just a lot of aerobics, just running around the stage.
Bike shorts?
Colour and move bike shorts.
Mm.
People won't notice that I'm not actually doing any singing.
Mm.
But he's then gone to Stockholm, and this is a couple of days ago now, and allegedly bit a security guard on the leg outside his hotel. Rose was intoxicated during the confrontation, which broke out at about 8 a.m. Oh, that's always a good time.
He's had a big night, hasn't he?
For a few drinks and a bite of a security guard. What would it feel like to be bitten on the leg by Axl Rose? That would be as welcome as...
The yellow-bellied black snake in a barbecue!
Did they actually use the word appetite for destruction in the leg-biting
headline? I'll bet they do, I'm sure. No, it's wheels fall off Axl.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Wouldn't you have guessed that one?
Nice.
Explains the weight gain.
Erection payout. There's a headline that grabs your attention. From Rhode Island, a former handyman has won more than $400,000 in a lawsuit over a penile implant that gave him a 10-year erection.
I saw this as well.
That's just high school, isn't it?
10 years. I mean, it'd be someone who you'd want around when you'd need support for an idea. I mean, Dave likes the idea. Look. Look, Dave's enthusiastic. Check it out. Hey, Dave, come in here. See, Dave likes the idea.
Part of his reasoning in court, apparently, was that he could no longer hug people.
That's what it says.
Ride a bike. Swim or wear bathing trunks.
Yes.
And my question is, how far into the 10 years did the riding a bike become difficult? Was it 2 years? Was it 8 years? Was it the third Tour de France? He went, no, stuff this. This is uncomfortable. I'm going to give this the flick.
Gee, I'd like to be riding a bike. Yes, Dave, we can see you'd like to be riding a bike. You're very enthusiastic about the idea of riding a bike.
But he's very popular going camping now. If you need to change a tyre in the car, he's always there.
He became a recluse, and his lawyer says he is uncomfortable being around his grandchildren.
Mm.
Or fine china, I'm guessing. but anyway, keep an eye out for that bloke. You won't be able to miss him. Hey, look, comedy characters. Do we have enough comedy characters on the show? We don't really have any.
No, we need more.
More comedy characters. I was thinking of... I know it wasn't very popular when we were doing Martin Malloy, but I was thinking of bringing back my Scottish stuntman.
Oh, it's a classic.
Evil McNeevil. So I have actually recorded it. Can you just play that sketch for us now,
sure,
Richard,
thing.
If you could? What's happening?
No, sorry, Tane, it's not...
Oh, don't tell me. Even the computer doesn't like that character.
Richard, sorry, what is Tony. Going on?
It's what the
are
machine.
What are we going to do? This is really annoying.
Sorry, Tane.
We're currently experiencing technical difficulties here at Triple M. We apologise for this brief break in Nickelback. Sadly, this is the only music available. But not to worry, listeners. I do have a selection of lyrics here, and it seems we can continue with the music as scheduled, using this, the only available backing track. Here we go. Like your pants around your feet, like the dirt that's on your knees, like the way you still say please while you're looking up at me, you're like my favourite damn disease. What about those three wise men? Gotta send me by the sea. Gotta ask yourself a question, where are you now? Reflex is an only child. Reflex waiting in the park. Reflex is in charge of finding treasure in the dark.
Safety dance!
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. If your friends don't dance, then they're no friends of mine.
The Proclaimers.
I could walk 500 miles
I could walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Give us some Iron Maiden!
In the mist, dark figures twist.
666.
Was this real, some kind of hell?
666.
666, the number of the beast. Hell and fire was spawned to be released.
Get this.
Let's hope those boys can get their lives back on track and make up for the damage they've done.
For Mrs. Olivia Buckley of Cherry Brook on Triple M.
Oh, it's Triple M. It's Get This. Of course it is. And radio's most informed football segment with Ed Cavalier is coming next. Is there any point in continuing with the World Cup? Well, we are. Ta very much, Queen. It's Get This on Triple M. Tony Martin, Richard Marsland, and today Craig Eagle helping us out. Craig, do you follow that, what's it called again, the World Cup soccer?
Not anymore.
Were you disappointed?
All done. Disappointed. Yeah. I think I was disappointed on a couple of fronts this week. One with the World Cup.
Yes.
Two with the axing of Big Brother Adults Only. I can't work out which one makes me feel worse.
What happened with the World Cup is corruption, basically. It was
It's a farce. It's a farce.
Conspiracy theories, or were Australia genuinely dudded? Is that?
I think we're genuinely dudded. I actually saw a clip online recently of a photograph that was taken and of an Italian player diving into a swimming pool,
right,
with a big sign behind him: "No diving, please."
Oh.
And apparently, that was being used pre-World Cup to train the Italian athletes because even the Italians are sick of it.
We weren't supporting the Socceroos here on this program. I don't know anything about soccer, so I figured, you know, I don't want to be one of these bandwagon jumpers.
No,
you're punched in the face, apparently, if that happens.
Yeah.
So we got behind Togo with their brilliant German coach, Otto Fister, and even they've hit the deck.
Yeah, Togo never made it to World Cup.
But we are persisting with the constant Fister updates.
Come on, let's Fister. Yeah, back with it last summer. Yeah, let's Fister.
As we cross to our man in Berlin, Ed Cavalier, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning everyone, how are you?
What's happening, where are you today?
Mate, I'm at a bar, it's a Chinese-Irish rock bar called White Trash.
What's going on there?
I just had a John Doe burger, which was pretty good. And now we're drinking, it's called a Trashed Russian, and it's coffee, it's iced coffee, Kahlua, vodka, and ice. And that's the drink of choice. But if we get bored here, we can always go next door to The Castle, which is an S&M club.
I don't know why not there now, Ed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Otto will be there.
Otto, I tell you, he's out of the news now, unfortunately.
Yeah, see, it's all out of the news. Are there still Australians lurking about there, or have they just
You see, they've kind of under the kind of, you know, radar, and they've kind of gone away. And yesterday, we had a visit from my friend Luke, who used to be on the street team up in Sydney, and he arrived with, like, a beard and long hair and, like, the best tan ever. And my friend said to him, "Look, mate, I'm really jealous of, you know, you've got this one tan, how did you get it?" And to which Luke responded, "I've been sleeping in a park for 3 weeks."
So this, rather than a series of sports reports, this is just the Black Thunder team cutting loose in Europe, Porky style. Hey, you should listen to, you know, the kind of letters that people are writing into the paper about the World Cup. This is to the Melbourne.
Oh, what are they saying?
This is someone called Go Aussies of Wodonga, who's written to the Melbourne Herald Sun today and said, "After the soccer, my lasagna suddenly tastes foul." So they're like turning on Italian foods.
Yeah, that's the way. We have to call it like, what do they do? We have to call it like freedom pasta or something instead, you know? It's like they did to the fridge. Hey, you know how you like an insider? I know your two favourite things in the world, Tony, are insiders and James Blunt, right? And there's this German kind of like, you know, tabloid magazine called Glamour or something. And my friend Dan, who's translating for us, I got him to translate a quote. This is what an insider has quoted for old Jimmy Blunt. It says, "Jimmy laughs constantly. He can't believe the happiness his music is bringing to the world."
Really? Do you think he's, are people lying to him? Do you suppose?
Well, yeah. Well, he, Yeah, he starts a concert tour in Berlin in like 3 days, like the day after I leave, James Blunt gets here, and I think that's probably fair enough.
Are you a big fan of James Blunt, Craig?
I love him. I can't get enough of him.
Listen, here's a quote. I've got a quote for you from James Blunt that was in the Who magazine here.
Oh, yes.
And he says, to all the bastards who don't like my music, you're all adults, you can switch your radio off, I'm the one who sings it, and it's continued to get me laid.
Oh, no.
So how Blunty bags the ladies into the boat. Just goes up behind them in a nightclub and, where are you now?
Gets him over back to his semi by the sea, as it were.
He's instantly cracking a semi by the sea.
Craig Eagle, just how are you, mate?
Hey,
just
Craig.
A couple of quick questions for you. Well, obviously, in the news here, we've seen a little bit of footage of, hooliganism in Germany. Two quick questions. Have you witnessed any hooliganism firsthand? And secondly, have you been involved in any hooliganism firsthand?
Well, the night is young, but no, I haven't witnessed any, but Luke told me a story that he told me not to tell on air, which I'm about to, where he got kicked off a train, him and a friend got kicked off a train in Spain, because his friend decided...
With the rain?
on the plane. His friend started to go to the bathroom in a public area on the train, and then they got thrown off the train and hit three times around the head with a baton. And when Luke was telling me the story, he finished it with, "And mate, he hit me on the back of the head with a baton." And I said, "Well, you were weeing on his train." And he said, "Yeah, but three times."
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey,
one's fair enough.
Ed, what, given that the air has sort of gone out of the World Cup balloon, what can you give us in the way of sizzle for tomorrow's report?
Well, mate, ich bin ein Berliner. We are, I am a donut. We are official German fans as we speak now. I'm on the bandwagon and I'm, Deutschland, Deutschland, über us. I'm ready, I'm on board.
He's gone to the other side.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ed. We've got a program to be getting on with.
Oh, okay, then. Back to white trash for me, then.
It sounds a little hurt.
Yes, the girl's happy. So we'll check in with you again tomorrow.
See ya.
Bye. My life, my
dream, nothing's going to stop. Not your fister.
And next up on Get This, we want to find out, what do you do? I saw you singing along with that one, Mr. Marsland. That was Hooberstank, if I were you, here at Get This on Triple M with myself, Tony Martin, Richard Marsland, and Craig Eagle co-hosting today. What did you think of that World Cup report?
Very informed. Very informed. He knows his football. What can I say?
We weren't prepared for the idea that Australia and Togo would be knocked out of the, is it a tournament? Is that what I meant to call it? Yes.
Officially, yes.
Okay, early. So we've somehow got to fill these segments just so that Ed can continue to claim tax credits for what is clearly just a holiday.
Yeah.
So he wants people to, we're going to persist with it. Continuing to do a World Cup report in the current climate might seem as welcome as...
The yellow-bellied black snake in a barbecue!
But we are going to persist. So what Ed wants you to do is go to our website, go to his page, and give him some suggestions of things he can do in Berlin. He's going to take any challenge you're going to submit to him. So he claims, so...
That's a good idea.
Have a crack at that. I'm looking for stories in the paper. What about Boy George? Remember Boy George? Mm. Singer Boy George was threatened with prison yesterday for failing to complete a community service sentence because he wanted to do something less humiliating than raking leaves. Gee, wouldn't anything be less humiliating than calling the cops to your house to report the theft of one of your 14 bags of cocaine? Which is what he did. Remember, that was the case.
Yeah.
That was the story.
Yeah.
He's gone, one of my 14 bags of cocaine has gone missing. I'll get the police in to sort it out. They've come around, and they've gone, one of my bags is missing, and they've gone, well, whose are these other 13? Not mine!
Oh, they're my friend, who's not here anymore.
He admitted to falsely reporting a burglary, avoiding more serious charges of drug possession, but now they want him to rake leaves, and he doesn't want to do that. His lawyer says if the singer were forced to sweep streets in a park, it would turn into a media circus, as opposed to the rest of his career.
And frankly, there are a lot more offences that he's committed over the years that he should have been charged with earlier.
Yes, that war song, for example.
fashion sense?
George rose from supermarket shelf stacker to international pop star in 1982 with the song Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, which topped the charts in 18 countries. Culture Club went on to sell almost 20 million albums. Later, he made a new career as a disc jockey and idiot. But so keep an eye out for Boy George Rakenleaves. Hey, that's an odd job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being Boy George.
Very strange.
Let's get up the mountain. That's what we're talking about today. People with weird jobs. What's a, I'll tell you a weird job, being a celebrity insider.
Yeah.
But listen to this, Angelina and Brad. Oh, someone's stolen the baby shower photos.
Yeah.
That'd be one of those insiders. Those Namibians. That is a weird job, being an insider. Stalking John Cusack. That would be a weird job. Mm. He's got a stalker.
Oh.
Would it be considered a job? Would you be paid to stalk John Cusack or indeed any celebrity? Would you get an income?
That'd be an hourly rate.
Surely.
You could get an ABN number. Every woman I know is stalking John Cusack. They love John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
It was that film, it was Say Anything, where he held
the Peter Gabriel
song up in the air.
I think on Conan O'Brien, they did a montage of all the movies that John Cusack has been stuck in the rain. And you look at John Cusack movies, and there's always a scene where he's in the rain, either crying or just some sort of emotional breakdown.
Get inside, Cusack, you'll catch your death. But he's been stalked by a woman called, what's her second name? Emily Leatherman.
Hang on. So Emily, she's stalking me.
She really?
She's been calling.
Been chased by the Leatherman. But so every article just says things like, Cusack said he had never met Leatherman. Leatherman interested in Cusack.
Well, then how did you know that she was stalking him?
Oh, because she's been flinging things over his back fence. What have you found a weird job there, Craig?
Very strange job, of course, sword swallowing.
That is a weird job.
Yeah. No, it's a job that I wouldn't want. Lovely story coming out of Minnesota. Spectators at the Magic Renaissance Festival got more of a show than they bargained for when sword swallower Edmund Cardona, 52, accidentally belched up a sabre that impaled audience member Mike Griffin, 26.
That has got to be made up.
Belched up a sabre.
Burped up a scimitar.
It happened so fast, I didn't know what hit me, Griffin said. I'm tipping a sabre hit you, you goose.
But when somebody swallows a sword, there's usually the handle bit still sticking out. It's not like you could swallow a sword, forget about it, and then belch it up later.
Hang on, what was that?
I don't remember eating that.
But the quote from Edmund that sums up the particular incident, gas is a sword swallower's greatest enemy. Now, I'm tipping lack of formal training would be its greatest enemy, or indeed, the sword itself.
The sword. I reckon the sword is the sword swallower's biggest enemy.
It's got to be.
It's sharp and pointy.
Yeah.
Here's a weird job.
It's in your gut.
Don't forget that. Actors hired to abuse bus drivers. In Sydney, the state transit people are paying people to give government bus drivers a verbal pummeling. Actors and frequent bus travellers are being hired to pose as irate customers in the taxpayer-funded project. Successful applicants will get $23.16 an hour to just abuse bus drivers to prepare them for the public relations warfare they face on the streets.
Mm.
So just standing there, yelling at a bus driver for $23 an hour.
Not bad.
What a dream gig!
It's great.
But what would you yell at them? What, personal blights or
anything
just
at all?
Yeah. Where'd you get your license, pal?
Like cool!
Yeah.
But just because it's things that they're going to be experiencing in public, and they're going to be bus drivers, and they're going to be working late at night, it just could be anything. Vegetables!
Is it just on the bus, or can I follow them home?
You could do that.
Your house needs painting!
You've got to be acclimatised. You could give them the same mouthful that you could say that they're the yellow belly black snake in a barbecue! You could do that.
That'll be used a lot.
Oh, look, we've done a bit of acting. How good would that be for a gig? I'd do that. Yeah. The acting would be great. If they'd include parking officers as well, then you'd see the best acting of all time.
Oh.
You'd do it for free for a few weeks, though. Just to acclimatise yourself.
I'd drop my rate.
Yeah.
Just for vocal warm-ups, you'd do it. Okay, this is what we want to hear about. Have you got a weird job? Have you got an odd job? Something, akin to sword swallowing or abusing bus drivers. Right. Give Craig, Richard and myself a call. Tell us, what do you do? 133353. That'd be the Choir Boys, you know that. It's Run to Paradise. It's it's Triple M. It's all happening. We're up the mountain today. Craig Eagle's up there with us. So is Richard Marsland, and we're finding out, what do you do? Who's going first, Richard?
Are you there, Chelsea?
Yes, I am.
What do you do?
I'm a pole dance teacher for Polestars, and I dance in Fortitude Valley in the Fringe Bar. I teach there.
Ah,
very good.
This
well
is
done, Chelsea.
In Brisbane?
Yes.
And look, when you say, what did you say the name of the company is?
It's Polestars. And Polestars. It's Australia-wide. Actually, it's around the world.
And how hard is it a skill to learn?
Some of the moves are quite tricky, but most people can do a lot of the moves, and it's
and
a lot
you
of fun.
Talking professionals coming in, seeking, you know, modifying their technique, wanting a few pointers, or are we just talking people from the general public?
No, I'm talking general public, housewives.
But do you get any males?
Everyday people.
Do you get any male members?
There's no males allowed in at the moment. But
sorry, Richard.
About having some men's only class.
Clearly my weekend shot.
How many lessons does it take to become, you know, good, Chelsea?
It took me a year or so to get good.
To master.
I mean, how many hours on the pole, as it were?
Sorry?
How many hours on the pole to become, you know, a reasonable pole dancer?
I'd say 20.
Right. And can anyone just be do you ever take someone aside and say, it's just not working, it's just not for you? Failing grade.
No, I just get bossier.
Right.
I just get bossier with how they're going to have their arms and...
And I'm sure they like that.
Nicely. Oh, they love it. It's great for confidence.
And what do you get at the end, a certificate?
Yes, you do.
And do
you
just...
can put it on your wall.
Oh, right. I thought you might stick it down the front of their underpants.
And a showgirl's DVD.
Some of them say they're going to put it in their resume.
Very nice. Well, Richard Marsland is going to slip into a cocktail frock and he'll be down for lessons after the program.
Ready to go. I'm going to own this town.
Down in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, which is the only place I've ever seen someone do that thing in a movie where you open up your coat and there's a load of watches in there.
Really?
I actually saw that for real. I was coming out of Fletch.
The story gets better.
That's how long ago it was. Thank you very much, Chelsea. I think Vincent's on the line. Vincent, have you got a bizarre job?
Yeah, when I was... it was actually my first job. I was employed at the Royal Melbourne Show inside the Horror Train 2000. I used to walk around in a skeleton suit, which was a pair of overalls with fluorescent stripes on it, with a plastic skull on a stick, and my job was to scare people.
And did you have to go to a course for that as well?
No. I'm sort of a pretty scary type of guy anyway, so it sort of came natural. But it was probably the best fun I've ever had working. You know, it was 2 weeks of a very enjoyable, a lot of job satisfaction and quite a few screens.
A lot of touching.
Inspiring fear.
I actually took my four-year-old on the for the Royal Melbourne Show on the ghost train.
Right.
And there was a bloke who, you know, had the same job in there and loved it.
Do you think your four-year-old was frightened by Vincent?
No, he just basically said, can you stop that now? My daddy's frightened. And he kept coming back. He had one crack and I went, whoa. And then he had another dip. And then on the third go, I said, can you just not anymore, please?
And Vincent, do you ever get told off? Do you never get, you know, taken aside?
Yes, part of the art of being a good scarer is to be able to jump out at the right time. If you jump out too early, then it's not as frightening. So you need perfect timing to do this job well. It sounds like the person that was helping you had very poor timing.
Not up to scratch. That was a substandard ghost train. Look, we would love to keep talking to all the other people we have on the line, but we're going to have to sign off again. I'm really sorry to the man whose job involved pigs, and I won't say any more. Maybe we'll get him back. See, this is that song at the top of the show. That's what it's doing to us. Oh, I'm really sorry. Thank you for coming in, Craig Eagle.
It was lovely to be here. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks to everyone who did call. Thank you, Ed Cavalli. And I think our key phrase today was...
The yellow belly black snake in a barbecue!
And we'll be back tomorrow to wind up the week with Matt Parkinson. Parko! And it's all thanks to Mrs. Olivia Buckley of Cherrybrook.